Dear Dhamma friends, this is our time for the Dhamma talks. Today is Dhamma talk. To start the Dhamma talk, you may concentrate three times. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Namo tasse bhagavitu arahato sammā sambuddhasse. Namo tasse bhagavitu arahato sammā sambuddhasse. නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතු වරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ චත්තාරෝ මේ භික්ඛවී ආහාරා භූතානං වා සත්තානං වා තිතියා සම්බේ සම්භවේසීනං වා අනුග්ඝාතායාති තී Dear Dhamma friends, as I mentioned yesterday, I selected the particular discourse delivered by the Buddha, known as Phagguna Sutta, as the common topic for our series of Dhamma talks. And this particular sutta you find in the Samyutta Nikaya, the concise discourses under the Nidana Magga Samyutta, and basically. It is talking about the four kinds of nutriments for the beings. The particular introductory phrase, it says that amongst there are these four nutriments for the maintenance of the beings that already come into the birth, or for the assistance of the being that is still seeking to be born, seeking to be become. That is, those who are living on the eggs and in the wombs and kind of thing. Whatever may be, the Buddha is going to open the topic of nutriments, and starting with Kabalinkara Ahara, as we discussed yesterday, that is what the edible food or material food, and even though it is known as edible food, it is not simply limited to the food we are taking through the mouth, but it comprises all the kind of sense impingements like visual objects, the sounds, the smells, that very food that we are obviously taking as the nutriments, and the contact, the tangible things to the sensitivity of the body. And having explained these edible foods, the second thing is the second thing the Buddha enumerated the contact itself, the sense impressions that is rather mental kind, not it is immaterial kind. First and foremost, he explains most conspicuous, most obvious thing as edible food, and then bring back to the more subtler one, that is the contact or the sense impressions. So as far as the edible foods are concerned, it's a very ethical and social issue, and it is diversifying into the economy, politics and the social works, and so therefore it is often we talk and our mind is quite obsessed with this issue. And that is why among the religious circles, people are much obsessed with the topics like taking vegetarian foods and eating meat and the other kind of thing. They become very, very sensitive. They become very thought-provoking kind of topics. And even among the Buddhist circles, they are much occupied and obsessed with this kind of topics. But when you take the food, edible food in the correct perspective, they are very insignificant issues as far as the main aim of the teaching of the Buddhas is concerned. So therefore one must have a broader picture, otherwise we will be wasting our time for these trivial issues as to sort it out whether we are vegetarian or vegetarians are superior than the other people, all the kind of thing. So during the time of the Buddha itself, it was kind of a sensitive issue, and Buddha has given the clear-cut answer. He says, leave it for individuals. Don't take it as something to be professed to the society at large. It's an individual issue, and the specifically the meditating monks, depending on the begging bowl, they have no executive powers to interpret their terms. I am a vegetarian, or I am a this and that. So they know how to fit into the what is given by the donors. And if you are not eating, well and good, but you must not profess as the teaching of the Buddha. And even in Sri Lanka, highly educated people, they taken up this issue and ultimately going to make a picture that Buddha is a vegetarian. I invite them to read the monastic code meant for the monks and the nuns, and they are very clearly indicate the Buddha himself has taken meat and the animal food, and he has kept the issue. He has gone up to the so much. He says, if you are offering a monk with seafoods and the meat and the curd, and it will be a superior kind of food, really the monk's going to get it. So Kanikandi is named as Panita Bhojana. Panita Bhojana means very delicate. So therefore the monks, the monastic, those who are abiding by the monastic code, the Buddha has mentioned, don't ask for this kind of delicate foods from the people, those who are offering, because it will be a burden for the lay people. So therefore you must not ask for this kind of thing. But if you are going to get, that is good, no problem. But you must not indicate it, you must not give hints, or you must give any command or demand for this kind of thing. That is how. So therefore you must understand, for each and every person, for them to thrive, for them to live, they should have this edible food. And they are, you must be moderate in feeding rather than selective on this kind of thing. And specifically not to profess to have this kind of food or that kind of food. It is a cultural issue according to the social background, the way the people are eating. But the Buddha has highly emphasized the moderation. Bhojane Matanyuta is the term he used. And when you are enumerating the 15 qualities of the Buddha, Vijja Charana Sampanna, the Charana Guna, that means his behavioral, one of the character or trait of the Buddha is that he is always concerned about the moderation of the food, and he is prescribing that for the people, those who wish their own well-being. So having said that, today I would like to draw the attention of you all to this prasahara, that he says kabalinkarahara, that is edible and material food, whether it is coarse or refined, dutiyo passo. Second thing is the passa. Passa means the contact. So hardly we give any thoughts, the passa, the contact, or sense impression as a kind of nutriment for our existence. But Buddha, having a comprehensive and overall omniscient kind of understanding, he has pondered and analyzed in detail. He says it is one of the four nutriments we must have to have our life. And knowingly or unknowingly, we make sure each and every moment we have a this or that kind of contact, this or that kind of a sense impression, even in the sleep, even in the dreams, even in the transitional periods. So that is how the continuity, the continuation is happening from moment to moment. So in order to have this continuity, the momentum, the acceleration, always we have one or the other contact. So therefore in the Abhidhamma and the commentarial exegesis, it has mentioned there are five mental factors which are always available in the state of mind. Passa, Vedana, Sanya, Chetana, Manasikara. The Passa is the very first one. Whenever our mind cognitive series going to start, it always starts with simple Passa. Passa means the contact. Or the, without that, our mind can't work. So therefore, throughout the life, we have this contact happening. Hardly we have any understanding or place any value to understand it. So therefore, the second aspect of nutriments, the Buddha mentioned, the contact, the sense impressions are continue to happen. Just like the breath. Physically, we have to have the breath. That is why our name, Pana. Pana means that we are always sucking or drinking the air. Without that, life cannot. With the voluntary or involuntary muscles, it is continuing even in the dreams, even in the sleep. Just like that, the contact is continuously happening. With the recent neurological and neuroscientist the experiments, they have tested the active mind or active brain as well as the sleepy brain, and they found no difference. Whether you actively awaken or you are asleep and dreaming, the amount of consumption of the oxygen and functions, no difference they can find. Throughout, whether you are awake or not, it is functioning. That means it has its own contact. That is how the continuity happens. That is how the acceleration happens. So therefore, whenever the contact going to ceases, that is the Nibbana. Or that is the enlightenment. So if you wish to have this gap or the discontinuity of the passa, that is what we call the liberation. Otherwise, we are shackled, we are hooked up with the contact, and knowingly or unknowingly, we are feeding it, we are facilitating it to have a thick stream. That is why we try to feed our mind with as much as possible visual objects. As much as possible sounds, as much as possible smells, as much as possible tastes, as much as possible luxurious contacts, and our pet thoughts, pet ideas. So we, as an individual, we have six functional faculties, the eye faculty, the ear, the nose, the tongue, the body, and the mind. We call we are rich, we are well-to-do, because we can give the maximum sense impressions through the eye faculty, the ear faculty, the nose, the tongue, the body, the mind. So much so, the sense impressions are flowing in a flux, basically in six streams. But we don't know, or we have to understand, at a time we can entertain only one. So when we are supporting, when we are providing, when we are facilitating all the six, five go in waste, only one thing we can contact, we can taste it, we can feel it. So who decides which one is going to be the next impression. That decides the agenda. Each and every one of us, we think, we have our own will, we have our own executive powers to decide what is the next. For that, whenever you are going to focus the mindfulness, you can understand how powerful is the wandering mind. How powerful is our secondary thoughts come and distract, even though we have our own 100% commitment to keep the mind with one single primary object. We can't. That is because the contact, next moment, is quite volatile, quite electric, quite unpredictable. So that very understanding itself is threatening to the beginners. But if you are not a meditator, if you are not a contemplative person, you will never notice that even if you are going to live on this earth, even for 120 years or 100 years, you will be ever feeding the faculties, thinking that you have choice, you can do it, you can entertain it. But the moment you are going to understand who is going to fix the agenda, you can't discriminate whether you are a slave or you are the master. So that is how the meditators become so desperate, so discouraged, because they are so hesitant to understand the slavery. They always think we are the master of our faculties, we are the master of our sense impressions, and therefore we have our command, they must be at our fingertips, so therefore we are entertaining. But the moment you are going to focus the attention to have the track of your mind, there you can understand how unruly they are, how bewildered they are. They are just like a wild buffalo taken out of from the wilderness, and they are completely unruly. So therefore, the passa, the contact, till you are going to take them under control, you serve it as a servant, and it is an incessant demand. It is just like a cane basket. You are going to fill water with the cane basket. How much amount you are going to pour it, nothing holds, because it is so much of the holes and porous. You can't hold it exactly the way. So we have incessant amount of consumption through the ear, your eye, the nose, the tongue, and from birth to death we keep on feeding, but not a single human being died with satisfaction, with contentment. Even if you are going to be the king, or king of the kings, even the celestial being, or even the Brahma, not a single being is satisfied, even though they are going to get all what they wish. So that is why the Buddha says, within this picture, if someone is going to say, I am better off than the other, it is utter ignorance. It is utter darkness of their mind, bewilderness of the mind. That is why we have our conceit, telling I am better off than him or her, and he or she is better off than me. That is utter lack of understanding and lack of broad spectrum understanding. We can't see the large picture. So that is why the passa, the contact, become very important. And even in the Abhidhamma and the commentary exegesis, it says this is the most difficult mental factor to understand. One thing is, at a given time, we don't know who is deciding what is the contact, what is the faculty, what is the kind of object we are going to select. For example, we say we are seeing a visual object. And we have a huge, large spectrum screen. Which one going to focus? We don't know. Even if we are becoming a seer, we have no control upon which one, which is the most attractive and conspicuous. It is volatile. And next moment we don't know when the mind will go, and despite the seeing, it can go to the hearing, and there which one will be our focus, a desirable thing or undesirable thing. Both of them have the same kind of attraction. So therefore, the among these six faculties, next moment is undecided. And once you become a meditator, and you have to accept it, this is what we call ungovernable nature, uncontrollable nature. There is no formula, there is no agenda, something happening. We can only be aware of it. But if you are going to say we are mastering it, it is our ignorance, it is our lack of understanding, it is our bewildered mind. So, provided that once you become a yogi or meditator, you of course going to introduce the primary object and then try your heart with your patience and choiceless awareness and unassuming nature to maximize the primary object as long as possible. So you know how much effort you have to exert in order to get the object of meditation to keep face to face with your naughty mind. Okay, we'll say that you manage some or the other to keep the primary object face to face. And when you keep on observing the primary object, for example, in-breath and out-breath, you can feel the primary object as a sensation, the pleasurable, unpleasurable or neutral. Or sometimes it may be a reminder or it may be a sign that can remember this and that connection. So therefore feeling will be a one outcome. Perception will be another outcome, or volitional activity will be another outcome, even once you decided your contact. So therefore, there are six kind of contacts. You, some or the other, with continuous attention, if you can reduce to one, to a primary object, and after the primary object comes face to face, and it is leading to feelings, the perception and the volition, over there, your character trait, your personality is being framed and you are being recognized according to the feeling, perception and the volition. So, after long, long time only you can understand what type of a person, who, or in the sense, who am I? So, therefore, the contact is very important in that understanding also. So there you have to have a very open-minded, broad-minded to let the contact to manifest and observe neutrally, observe choicelessly or unassuming manner as if an outsider to see what are the character traits, what are the personality. So when observing only you are revealing, and then only the furthering of your advancement of the meditation can take place. So therefore the contact is very important. So when the Buddha is going to give an example on this contact, he take a cow, a skin cow. When it is a cow is skin off, and wherever it is going to go under a tree, the creatures and the pests in the tree will come and bite. If you're going to lean against the wall, even the very touch will be agonizing. Go under the water creatures will come and nibble and prick. And even on the air, the other the pests can come and distract. So likewise, the skin cow, our body is throughout the life, it is being distracted or nibbled or pricked by different contacts, we call them or we recognize them or we assume them as something prestigious, something to be entertained, something to be the feel proud. But the day you try to control it or reduce it, then only you will understand how much you are a slave to this contact. So, in order to give the clear picture, the Buddha is using this very mental factor in the meditation. For example, if you are going to take this mindfulness meditation and you are doing a sitting meditation, that is to say intensive practice, what you do is you take a sitting posture, you close your eyes so that 1/6 of your faculties will be closed. You are purposefully, voluntarily, you close your eyes. So there is no visual objects, no sensitivity of the eye, no seeing, physical seeing takes place. And you are supposed to go to a silent place whereby the sounds are not distracting. And you are supposed to sit in a normal ambient atmosphere. There is no smells, good or bad. And you are supposed to maintain the tongue, not tasting anything. And your body posture is such, you are not doing any voluntary work. The body is kept in a fixed way. You can keep it for a few minutes without any volitional activity. So therefore, ultimately, only the breathing, that is the continuity of the breathing, is going to take place. So that means your mind is fully aware. Oh, be mindful, be vigilant, be diligent upon the breath. So that means you have closed 5 out of 6 sense impressions. And therefore, you are focusing only one aspect, or rather, one thing at a time, and that done well. That is how you focus the mindfulness. So, with difficulties, and after getting rid of certain amount of obsessional kind of defilements, one day, you will understand how to keep the breath face to face. As if that you are learning how to ride a push bike. Now you can balance the bike and you can ride without the help of the second person. You may be toppled down, but anyway you know how to get the momentum. So when it is going there, the contact becomes kind of a restraint. It is only happening through one particular faculty, and while continuing, there's a strange thing going to happen. That is, if it is not under control, it is jumping from one prominence to one prominent object to the other, maybe sight or hearing or smelling or touching, whatever dramatic, whatever colorful, whatever eventful, whatever conspicuous, whatever prominent, that will be the criteria. But once you confine it to one track, that naughty nature of the contact is under the surveillance, under the light of mindfulness. Then what happens is, more and more you try to be face to face with the primary object, that very object become boring, that very object become monotonous. That very object become challenging, that become fearful, you lose your orientation. That is because if you are not under the light of mindfulness, the mind is jumping from one to the other, just like a mad monkey, and without any agenda it is jumping, because only the criterion is the dramatic nature. the conspicuous nature, the prominency and eventfulness. But if you confine to one particular thing, if successful means that you are there, keeping the object face to face will be definitely covered by the boredom, the monotony, the fearful nature, and you feel like cornered, you feel like outcast, you feel like lost in the sea, or lost in a forest, or lost in a desert. So that is how the very impression upon your primary object is subjected to fast changing, fast variations, as far as the breath is cross, as far as the breath is discriminate between the in-breath and out-breath, you can keep the track with. But once it becomes face-to-face, soon the discrimination between the in-breath and out-breath disappears, and you don't know, you fall into sleep. You don't know, mind is be tricky, try to find some other dramatic objects from the background. And then that becomes the second object, and ultimately mind wanders off, and you have to bring it back to the primary object. Due to your effort and due to your faith and due to your ways and means, you may be successful. Immediately, again, it is going to become boring and monotonous. And if you are not understanding this, and if you are not going prepared for that, thousand and one excuses may come. You feel uncomfortability in the body. You feel the mind is unruly, distracted, wandering minds, everything happened. But even if you bring it back to the primary object, hardly you observe its border. So, the Buddha explained, whenever the mind is to keep the track with one single object, easily change into the otherwiseness, or going from the gross to the subtlety, and from the desirable to the undesirable nature, so that is a sign of Nibbana. Instead, if it is going from dramatic to dramatic, conspicuous to conspicuous, eventful to eventful, that is sansara. So that is how through the contact you have to understand whether you are progressing or not. If the mind is unruly way, without any agenda, just like a monkey mind jumping from one object to the other, meditation will be, I don't call it meditation, you feel you are lost and you don't have any discipline and you don't have any, effort to maintain that trend. But whenever the effort is being exerted, whenever the object becomes face to face, the boredom sets in and the monotony comes. That is the way the nature, the intrinsic nature of the Nibbana, disenchantment or lack of delightfulness going to happen. So unless otherwise you have the basic perception, you will hate the progress of the meditation. So that is why it says you must be really, really be prepared for that. Okay, we'll say now one yogi came to know it and taken it to their heart, and even if it is boring, even if it is monotonous, even if it is fearful, they made up their mind, then what happens is object becomes subtlest. When that subtlety happens, now you can see the contact is not contacting. That is the way the Buddha is presented it in a very dramatic way. All the contacts are contacting as far as it is dramatic and it is colorful and it is eventful. But if you observe one particular thing, gross to the subtlety, subtle to the subtlest form, you are breathing, you are not dead, but you can't conceive it. You can't perceive it. You can't contact. There is no contact. So when that happens, our egocentric thinking pattern will be completely challenged. So therefore it come out and so much of alternative proposals, opinions, and you don't know which one to support and which one is correct and which one is wrong. And the desire already nourished by changing the object by dramatic to dramatic, eventful to eventful, now become has to sort out different method, because now object become very pale, object become monotonous, so therefore that is also being challenged. And you yourself will feel cornered, outcasted, because you are not entertaining the life. You are not entertaining the object, so therefore your conceit also will be chilling. So your desire, the conceit and the egocentric thinking, everything will be challenged, so therefore either you go for entertaining doubts, or go for sleepiness, or you try to force breathe in order to get the contact that you have already lost, or you will open your eyes and get up and go. So this is how, this is the point where you have to understand our perverted nature, our cheating nature. So if someone to really continue with this the cessation toward the cessation of the contact, or go to the subtle part of the object, you must be really prepared. When you go there, one day you will understand no breathing you can feel, but the consciousness is there. You are not unconscious, you are not sleepy, you are not fainted. There is a kind of a balance. It's a spiritual state, it's a concentration state, mindfulness is continuous. So the once you acclimatize into that, once you gain the balance into that, this is yet another kind of consciousness you never tasted, you never experience it as a balanced state in this sensuous world. When you come up to that level, the contact has become kind of a presence and absence form. So this is the point the Buddha says, you become skillful in mastering your materiality. That means your breath becomes so subtle, it is fit to hold, it is unperceivable, but yet you are not given up. You are just maintaining the state of consciousness, and you understand this is another balance, another equilibrium in the consciousness completely. For the word meaning, completely cut off from the senses. So at the beginning you close your eyes, you went to a silent place, no smell, no taste, and you only perceive the contact of the breath. Now that is also ceases to exist. So this is the place, a kind of a hurdle that you have to master. Go to that place as much as possible, experience that is a equilibrium position. You can maintain it. And there you can understand what is the function of the contact. So, without entertaining doubts, without letting the mind fall into sleep, without going into forced breathing, without opening your eyes, if you master this situation, slowly, slowly, provided that the physicality or the visual objects, the sounds, the smell, the taste, the or touch or mental objects are absent, so therefore everything is somewhat frozen. And then if you can maintain this balance, then the Buddha says, your personality traits, your likings and dislikings, everything will manifest in the open air theater. Sometimes the feelings are going to play head. Sometimes perceptions are going to happen. Sometimes the volitional activities are going to take place, because now there are no sense impingements coming from external to internal. Instead, now your storage or library shots going to flash. So therefore sometimes you will see so vivid physical or visual objects. So they are sometimes going to give a pleasurable feeling, sometimes pain feeling. Sometimes they resemble your disease relatives. Sometimes it appears like a deities. Sometimes many, many things happen. So you will get obsessed. Or sometimes you feel like fabricating out of that or doing this and that. So therefore, whenever the external impingement is going to stop, and still the consciousness is there, still you are alive. So therefore, in order to maintain the show, in order to maintain the game, the manifestation happened from the libraries, from the memory. So when you are, when they are flashing back, they appear like more than vivid, more than lively. So therefore, you are going to believe that you are already enlightened. You have already extrasensory perception, or you have all magics, you have all kind of things. Or sometimes you are going to listen some sounds as if celestial beings are coming and giving message, or your wish fulfillment kind of things happen. So they happen in the very vivid way. Some people going to have special smells, some people going to have special tastes, some people going to have feelings like lightness or light perception or floating or vibrations, many, many things. And the mind also sometimes philosophizing in a very clear manner, very lucid manner. Without a friction, you can think along one line. It is so much connecting each other. So these are the traps the Buddha says, unless otherwise you understand this state. And exert or continue in an unassuming manner. It's a very important unassuming manner you can progress. If you are going to assume these colors or light as something of me or mine or myself, you will get trapped. Whenever the sounds happen, if you are going to say it is a benefit of my meditation, it is an endowment for me, it is a gift for me, therefore I must entertain these sounds, definitely you will be taken for a ride. And the tastes, the smells, the bodily lightness and kind of thing, and the prolific thinking and very lucid thinking. So all these things are definitely, if you are not instructed properly, or if you ignore the instruction, you are going to assume them. Soon you assume them, you will get magnetized into that, and you will easily forget that you are a yogi. Instead, you are going to overestimate try to divert from the mainstream. So that is what the today meditation world in Sri Lanka. And not only in Sri Lanka, overall in the world, whenever a certain amount of mindfulness develops, you are opening enormous scopes. And if you are going to assume them, accordingly, you will be distracted, diversified from the main object. So the Buddha says, the contacts going to contact you according to your own assumption. In the sense, at a time, in the awakened time, you have visual objects, sounds, taste, smell, touch and the mental. Which one you are going to contact depending on your assumption. This assumption, sometimes it is known as your essence. What you think, who you are, is what is going to contact. Because so much of contact things are happening, you have the choice, that selection, whether it is under your agenda or not, it decides by your likings and dislikes, your assumption and your what you made out of. And then that will be very clear once you come up to this very subtle layers of the breath. Then only you can test it. Otherwise, you won't believe it. You think that you have control upon them, but ultimately what happens is contact is going to control you. When the Buddha, time of the Buddha, there was one queen known as Magandhya. She was very beautiful and she was very conceited character, and he has kind of a hatred to the Buddha and his disciples. Once she gained the power, when the Buddha came into that area and going to live there with the begging bowl and with the pindapata. So she got the chance and paid for the thugs and asked them to blackguard the Buddha and the Buddha's disciple whenever they are going on pindapata. So Venerable Ananda was so upset because they have no any base, and ultimately they won't allow any monks to go out and blackguarding and disturbing and kind of thing. He went to and plead the Buddha, Bhante, why don't we consider about leaving this place? Then the Buddha asked, what is the reason? Because that we are not only that we are not going to get the pindapata, but instead the baseless way, a minuous way, they are blackguarding. So instead of giving a quick decision, the Buddha mentioned, Gāmi aranye sukha dukkha putto nevātana nocha parandaheya pusanti passa upadim paticca nirupadim kena pusayyum passa. He says, whether may be in the forest or in the village, don't, when such a thing happen, don't accuse yourself or don't accuse outside. Don't find fault with internal or external. The contacts are going to contact according to your assumption. Those who have no assumptions, unassuming people, how can the contact contact them? So if you are assuming you as an important person, that is according to your assumption only, impingements are going to give the message. Impingement themselves has no intrinsic merit. They have no inherent message. They contact you according to your own assumption. So therefore, what you perceive is not utterly internal or external. They are cause-and-effect relationships. Unless otherwise you study this mechanism, you will never ready to accept this truth. Whenever someone is doing to you good or bad, you consider this impingement, this impression itself as a good or the bad. But the Buddha says it is due to the interact between the in and out. You don't have control about outside or inside. So therefore, if you observe and analyze and see what kind of contact going to happen, that indicates how much you are assuming. Assumption is going to decide kind of a contact. Therefore, the Buddha indicates, develop the character of unassuming. Unassuming character is a very good definition for the mindfulness. When you are observe meditating, we'll say you are focusing on the in-breath and out-breath, and while it happens, a sound comes. Now, enough sounds happening from this down there. So, if you are going to consider this sound is bad, so that is your own assumption. These sounds have no meaning to come and distract you. This each and every driver of warning have no malevolent idea that people should not meditate. That is not the way. They are doing by their own way. But we being meditators, we consider this as a wrong thing. But the person will suppose going to open a boutique or shop close by the road, more and more vehicle goes, it is good for him because good business. But for us, it's a distraction because we assume we ourselves as the meditators. So that is how in the meditation, whenever the contact going to happen, if you are unassuming, if you are having a choiceless awareness, you can be aware as if an outsider without getting involved with that. So that is the one of the basic qualities the way, basic way of defining the mindfulness. For that, I really thank the Western people, those who are coining the words and going to give different shades of meaning for the mindfulness. They are very dramatic. This is the mindfulness they define in the sense, choiceless awareness. Unassuming way, a non-reactional way, evenly suspended attention or suspended decision. So these are going to give different challenges for us. How can we, even their contacts are going to contact us. If we are not going to assume anything, we are developing the unassuming quality, we can get a distance. We can get a freedom then and there. Under such circumstances, it is very easy to put the point in this way, that is to say, if you can maintain the mindfulness with the in-breath and out-breath, only with the, or without any distraction, it is good. But if you can maintain the mindfulness with the in-breath and out-breath amidst of distraction, it is better. So, if you understand the mindfulness in the correct perspective, distractions are no more distractions. Because you are not assuming that you are meditating, every must be silent and all the situation must be conducive. If it is good, if it is conducive, it is good. But if it is not so, that you, there is no excuse for you to not to meditate. That is how the difference between the samatha meditation and the vipassana meditation. For the samatha practice, every situation must be conducive, otherwise you can't gain the momentum of the mindfulness and the concentration. But if you have the correct perspective towards the vipassana, you understand whatever may be the given situation, you try your best just like a samatha yogi, but even the distraction is going to happen, you are not going to give up. You develop the unassuming quality. So that is why the Buddha says, with the people are blackguarding, but if you are going to assume yourself, you will get irritated. I am telling you all, don't assume. Develop the unassuming quality and then contacts are not going to really contact. And that very unperceivable level of breath is a real challenge for someone to understand. You have two options. One thing is let the contacts to contact you and going to give the sense impression. When the mindfulness is steadfast, you get another option. The contacts will come, but you are not assuming, and their contacts become nullified and they become no use, and still you can have kind of a equilibrium, kind of a balance. And that is called, your mind is rather distracted, detached from the senses, and amidst of all the sense impressions, you can have the balance. And when you come up to that level only, your real personality trait, your real likings and dislikings going to manifest. When they are manifesting, the Buddha indicate they can manifest in terms of feeling, they can manifest in terms of the perception, they can manifest in terms of volition. So therefore you must wait and see which way the trend is going to take. And when you are in the interviews, you are just indicating that when the mind become calm and quiet, or when it is breath become subtler and subtler, what kind of a background you experience and what is the kind of impression you are going to get. You feel like advancing or not, you feel like steadfast mindfulness or disheartening. So that indicates for the listener to understand what kind of a person, what kind of assumption, what kind of a choice that particular person is having. So if you have a very analytical or reflective kind of a teacher or reflective But even without that, if you know the mechanism of the mind, you yourself can understand whether it is going from the calmness to the bewilderment or bewilderment to the calmness. So throughout, if the mindfulness is there, even the same impressions are there, faculties are intact, but you can have a distance. So when distance happens only, you can see, you can remove the outer veil, that is the materiality, and then you can go to the mental aspects and your mentality, and just like you open your skull and see brain like, and when you go there, still you must be unassuming and let them to manifest. By just mere observation, by just mere exposure itself, they loses its grip. By reaction only, you creating problems or entangled. So non-reactional way, unassuming way, when you're going to develop, the Buddha says, when the meditation happen, even visual objects happen, that may mentally, or sounds happens, or taste, smell, or any feeling, bodily contact, tactile sensation, or thoughts happen, you must develop, this is not me, this is not mine, this is not myself. But that is not the way the mind works if it is uninstructed. Whatever going to happen, you are going to react. Whatever going to happen, you are going to assume. Whatever going to happen, you are going to have a choice. Each and every choice, each and every assumption, each and every reaction, you will get hooked up. So that is the two options you have. Most of the time, definitely you will get reactive. You will be very assuming. You will be choosing. But one day, if the real instruction come into being, you will understand, I have two options now. The things are happening, but how can I maintain unassuming quality, non-reaction quality, and not to have choice. The choiceless awareness. That is the point, you can have the all the contacts to be ready, but you have not selected. So this is the only moment you can be contented in this life. Soon you select it, you are rejecting many, so therefore you are paralyzed. You are not open to the whole range. So let the whole range come as suggestions or proposals, don't second it. Keep the, all the ranges are open, that is how the contentment going to happen, the satisfaction going to happen. So therefore not necessarily you must select one. More you keep the situation open, your inside meditation is proliferating. So that is therefore when introducing mindfulness itself, you have to give these attributions of the mindfulness to be, and it, that these attributions, so far I mentioned as non-reactional way, choiceless way, and unassuming way. So when that happened, this all define the character of equanimity. You are not shaken by the vicissitudes of the world. Gain and the lost. The fame and the ill fame. Pain and the pleasure. And the good and the bad. So whatever thing happens, if you are untrained, if you are not instructed, and if you are not experienced, definitely according to your assumption, according to your likings and dislikings, you are going to select one. So that means you are developing new another turmoil. So instead, if you are going to see, I have two options, but I can maintain the moment, unassuming way, non-reactional way, and a choiceless way, you try to be a human being, a living human being, unbiased and not moved by the situation, and it appear like impossible. Of course, by philosophizing, it is impossible. Of course, by book reading or book knowledge, impossible. Of course, by wish, you can't do it. But gradual way, if you develop something like with the breath, from the gross to the subtlety, known to the unknown, from the egoistic idea to the non-egoistic idea, daily you are advancing and coming back. Again, go advancing and coming back. One day you will come and stay there in an equilibrium, and there you will see it is not the Nibbana, but this is a kind of a hurdle, a crossroad, where you find second equilibrium in the world. And according to the Buddhist scriptures, it says that kind of a satisfaction, that kind of a contentment, we call immaterial kind of pleasure. It is not supported by the ear with the sound. It is not gained through the eye or by the visual object. Not by the nose, not by the smell. Not by the tongue or the food. Not by the luxurious comfort or the body. Not by the mind and the mental object. It is independent of everything, and that is the immaterial pleasure. Once you come up to that level only, you get two options, either to go to the samsara or go to the nibbana. So therefore, the last sutta we discussed in the last retreat was Susima Sutta, and there the Buddha says, before going to the nibbana, Susima, you have a camp, you have a resort that is called Dhammatiti. Dhammatiti, you get kind of an establishment where you are not carried away by the materialistic pleasure. You come to immaterial pleasure, contented, and once you season it, familiarize it, and maximize only, you get the option to opening to go to Nibbana. And therefore, establishing at that place is very spiritual. It is very religious. It is full of mindfulness. And then you have more and more options, and that situation you can explain as unassuming state, choiceless state, non-reactional state, and therefore it appear like not belongs to this world. But it is possible thing. If someone can go there and experience it, maximize it, it's a very clear indication you can have the final goal or transcendental goal in this very life. So therefore, even if you can't assume, even if you can't figure it out, even if you can't aim at the transcendental state, if you can experience, if you can maximize, if you can season the subtle state, the mind is fairly distant from the senses, and don't let the boredom to distract you. Don't let the sleepiness to distract you. Don't let the entertaining doubts to distract you. Don't let the mind to manifest so that you are going to have a forced breathing. So that is the way you have to discipline. By disciplining, you are really understand another aspect of contact, where contacts are not contacting, and therefore you are no more a slave, but not yet the master too. You understand another facet, then only you can say you are seeing the side, you are seeing the other side of your mind. Or you can say, in the Western terms, you can say you are going into the unconscious. You are going to the subconscious. As far as the subconscious is concerned, the Buddha says we are all equal. Our disparity, our conceit, our one-upmanship, everything is in this materialistic sphere. In the senses. So that is not indicating you are living whole life getting a distance from the senses or sense impingements. If you can have a split second and get an idea that there's another combination, another door opening, then you become more and more advanced, more and more fulfilling, and therefore your determination power, your mind power is increasing. So therefore, always you have to understand, whenever the mindfulness is not there, you will be driven by the contact. When the mindfulness comes, you can experience sometimes when the contacts are not contacting you, but still you can have the mindfulness. So that becomes something unexplainable. That becomes not explainable by the existing words, existing grammar. So you become dumbfounded. So that is why the Buddha says, as far as you have some experience which can be explained, that is not transcendent. That is not superior kind. So from the explainable situation, when you go to unexplainable situation, don't feel like as if you lost, as if you falling into sleep. That is kind of a state. You can be aware, you can be awake into that. And there, the healing happens, the fulfillment happens, and the contentment going to happen. And then only you see the depth, as if you have the both the eyes, materialistic kind and non-materialistic kind. Those who see only the materialistic side, it still can see, but one-eyed man, they can't see the depth. Once you go up to that level only, the depth going to happen. So this is more subtler than controlling the edible foods. This is a very deep layer, very deep kind of a combination, whereby slowly you develop. The day, one day will come, you will understand that unassuming, choiceless, non-reactional state is our real home. So much so you have to maximize it, and then only you can understand the real teaching of the Buddha. Now we feel, for the beginner, it appears like something strange, it appears like something lost, something boring, something monotonous, something sleepy, something fearful, uncertainty. But in the meditation, specifically in the Vipassana meditation, one day you will understand it is your privilege, it is your endowment, this is you are really at home. Then only you will understand the disadvantages of the contact. It's always occupying you, taking you for a ride, jumping from one consequence to the other consequence, and people call it is richness. People call it is the ability. But the Buddha says, you become slave to the sense impingement. So why don't you take refuge, not to take refuge them, and feel that unfeelable, contact, uncontactable, and that by understanding the whole, the states of minor, the breath, the gross form, the middle form, and the subtle form, all the three must be considered in the equal way, and one day you will understand the subtlest form is the most rewarding form according to the teaching of the Dhamma, and then you understand how much you must seek solitude. Not only the physical solitude, but even the solitude from contacts. So more and more engaged in the contact means you become stressful, you become frustrated, and you will be macerated, and you will be strangled, and in the difficulties. When and where you become less and less with the contacts, and you find that naturally it is recharging your battery, and you become contented and rich. So therefore, try your best when the situation is conducive to go from the gross contact to subtle. Explainable to unexplainable, known to unknown, egoistic value to non-egoistic value. So this is how you can experiment with the contacts, and definitely it is going against the grain. So I hope this teaching of the Buddha and the deep understanding of the mindfulness is giving a number of ways and means and creative so that you will be advancing and don't consider these distractions are real distractions. If it is so, mind will become discouraged and backward, but make use these distractions. They become distraction if you are going to assume. The day you see through them, you will go to the unassuming state, and that will be a camp in the on the way, full during the whole trip. On the way, you have a camp. There you can see the symptoms of or characteristics of the Nibbana or the equanimity or unassuming state, so that you will be slowly, slowly healed. Thank you very much for listening. So this is, we have taken 1 hour and 15 minutes. So if you have any comments or any questions or any criticisms, statements, yes, I invite.
I think there was something that you said in the earlier part of today, which I may have misunderstood. I keep trying to concentrate on my specific, for example, the walking meditation, and usually I find it very useful. Today, for some reason, I got exhausted. My body was really tired. And I found it difficult when I returned to the sitting meditation. Then, in one of the questions, I think something like that came up. And we were talking about it being difficult to meditate and just to first relax. And to just relax and let the breath happen or let the walking happen. And that it is so relaxing that it's not about the leap. It's almost like a hobby. So I haven't, but it means for me, relaxation comes when I'm looking around, when I'm looking at the trees, at the mountains, at the mist forming, at the sunset or the sunrise. But that is a sense, those are sense contacts. When I try to focus on the meditation practice, then I get tired. Or physical pain. So how do I get to relax and to focus?
So this, in a gross way, maybe you are on the early phases of understanding. So if the tiring happens, if the exhausting nature happens, if it is still bearable, you can contribute. If it is unbearable, you are out of the scene. So when the meditation happens, in the sitting or in walking, the feelings are going to be amplified. That is because of the sensitivity of your mind. The mind becomes very sharp, so therefore the sensation becomes amplified. So that is not totally a negative quality. Because you are totally aware of your internal body sensations, you are not distracted outwardly. So therefore they become very sensitive. So therefore, but the meditation master, they say, even they become amplified, never they go unbearable. That is a way of meditation. When the sensation become the nuisance, exerting, of course it is unexpected. It's a very strange way it happens. But never go unbearable. So that indicates is a result of meditation, even though you are not expecting. So in that when the mind go up to a certain extent, it find either way of feelings or perception or volitions. The people, those who are going to make the feeling as a bottleneck, they get engrossed with feelings. Maybe negative, maybe positive. And they are talking whole meditation experience in terms of feelings. That's a kind of a character trait. Yet another kind, they are talking in terms of labels, signs and signals. That perception type, they are caught up with these views. And yet another kind, they are fabricating. They are advertising kind of people. What can I do? How can I use it? How can I tell others? How can I... That kind of people. So you have to understand when this manifestation, that bottleneck, you get engrossed according to your likings and dislikings, your assumption, your past karmic forces. So you have to be happy. Now you understand who am I. But I am not telling concretely that you are a kind of a person engrossed in feelings. Maybe it is changing a few days' time. So therefore, this is a kind of a sign. Now meditation is working. Make it sure it's not unbearable. And whenever you look at the mist and the kind of thing, this pain disappears. So that indicates this pain is a result of meditation. Or the feeling, not the pain. Not necessarily pain. Some people are quite elated and the light and they are throwing parties. Because the feeling, still the feeling. So therefore this and Upanditaya, I can't remember that. A few days ago, some person put it in the different way. Then I answered it. Mahasi Sayadaw, when he's writing his treatise, he says, whenever there is a new inside knowledge to happen, the forerunner, precursor is a pain. You get an unbearable or unexpected kind of pain. If you can go through it, end up with the new knowledge. New insight. So therefore, whenever the pain happens, bearable but unexpected kind of thing happens, this is a good sign meditation is progressing. But if you stop halfway, you are going to give a complete misinterpretation of a Dhamma. But instead, if you go through it, you will understand after climbing a mountain, you get the downfall. So likewise, you have to go. Upandita Sayadaw put it in the complete thing in the very aesthetic way. He says, whenever you are going to feel, going to have a pain in the inside meditation, it's a good omen. He says, Siri Devudu Gata Geti Vadiya Kala Santos Vendi. I don't know how to put it in English. It's a good omen. It's because you understand the truth of suffering. You can't escape it. You can have anesthesia. You can have Siddha Lepa. You can have Panadol. So that means you are not facing the truth of suffering. When it is manifesting, see whether you have the resistance, you have the immunity, you have the guts to bear it up. And day by day you will see your immunity level is increasing. So that means that is the way that you become advanced. But this is applicable for the character which is which can be explained through the feelings. But the character which is can be explained through the perception, different story. And the manifestation, different story. So therefore our literature is it's a rich, it's a full versatile. But you have to have a proper interpretation so that you will encourage and dash through. So, if you wish to be a mother, labor pain is a must. How can otherwise you be a mother? By just becoming pregnant, you are not called mother. The parturation, it's a labor pain. And then only, you love the child and people call you mother. So in the Vipassana meditation is nothing you get free of charge. At the cost of your feelings, at the cost of your perception, at the cost of your manifestation. Slowly, slowly you have to give up. You have to see them red-handed while it is happening. And you must be happy now you are going through. Just like a digging a tunnel, you go deep and deep and deep into the tunnel. You are more vulnerable now. Of course, you are nearing the asset, but vulnerable to become. So you have your choice to take it up or leave it. I don't know whether I have good, given the good interpretation, so try and see. Yeah.
Half an hour.
Half an hour, not enough. Sometimes 3 days continuously. 3-4 days you are pickling. You are hacking. And you don't understand it. And usually it says that in the Goenka Meditation Center, 4th day is the going back day. 1st, 2nd, 3rd day is a hacking. Keep on. You can't understand why this I am self-imposing. Suffering. Everything is like suffering. So in the army training also, in the early 3 days, you get so much of pain. And after the 4th day, if you don't get that feeling, you feel something like it. You have to do. You have to do that exercise, and that is how we make the body very versatile, make the body very agile. Make the body more malleable. And otherwise we are comforting it and giving this comfort zone and all the time of it. Never try. Never develop resistance. So therefore if you love your body, make it malleable. How do you call it? Malleable. And that is the way Buddha says you take well-being of your body, well-being of your life. Expose it to the whenever possible to the whole adverse situation. Because they are, by becoming old age and sick and death, you are definitely going to face with the adverse situation. Why not be prepared? So, and we have on top of that the faith on the Buddha, faith on the Dhamma, faith on the Sangha, and we know we are virtuous. We are on precepts. We are not going to gain for the money, fame, or any kind of thing. So, I mean, so much of reasons, so much of reasoning out. We are doing, do it. So, I am very happy when say someone is in pain. So, I know. I am very, how to call that, not compassionate. But in deep, I know he or she is really fighting. But if someone says, I am get a light and I am very relaxed and I know it's in the bogdown. Very difficult to take it down. Because it is an internal trap. But the pain is, it's a kind of a rejuvenating, recharging, and the immunity is increasing.
So one thing you have to just go on and on.
Go, otherwise you finish yourself, die yourself, you go mad. Yeah. But anyway, that is you are checking your account balance. So when I was in Panditarama, that lady has put up a meditation center in France. She is a Vietnamese. And her love was to cook food, elderly person, and came and meditating. Very serene person. But soon you see sit, there's a specific kind of backbone. 1 hour of torturing. And daily when she comes to the interviews, with a very composed manner, she says, I sit, I observe the rising and falling, soon the pain arises, it is burning, it is torturing, it is hacking, it is cutting, it is... She gave the full account. And the side was not there, the second was there. He says, I am very happy that you explained them in a, something in an objective manner, not get involved and keep on. But I have to go there and translate 3 other Sri Lankan monks, so I have to wait there. So daily I am listening. The teacher also giving exactly the same interpretation. She also come and she practice regularly. I left Burma in 1996, end of 96, and later, 5 years later, 2001, I went and paid respect to my teacher, and that day I meet that second child. who was doing the interviews, and the lady was also there. He was very happy that I came after 5 years. He said, I'm very happy. He's a very, very mystic kind of a character. There was no relationship with the people. So when I see, then that lady was going. He told me, you know, she overcame the pain after 5 years. After 5 years. And he was so proud. He himself told, I have my own fair doubt that she will not. But now she is through. Imagine that she has all the other the assets and the meditation center, teachers are coming to that place and she is helping others. She is broad-hearted. Nice lady, elderly lady. She was, and while interpreting, the master going to say, my second in charge, he says, last life you would have been a police constable. Whacking the people without any reserves, and now you are getting the return, but the most important thing is unwavering. She explained it very clearly. So therefore these are good role models. And by looking at her face, you can't feel that she is in agony. And when explaining also, she never make the bad face. She write it in a very scientific way, explaining. Exactly the same. So that is how it happened. So, and yet another dramatic event, together with Pandita Sahib. One person, he has, in a conventional way, he became Sotapanna. And he went to his country and started the meditation center, successful teacher. Now he is instructing. While instructing, he found that he is now blocked. So he has to go back to the teacher and do for the next. So he got an appointment and went to the Panditarama and practicing now. And he thought, now he has already gone the first part, therefore the next must be a carpet road and easy driving. He expected, but when you go there, first day, again, kind of a strange, the pain. He reported Saido, thinking that maybe traveling stress, jet lag and all the kind of thing. And the second day, in the interviews, still it is agonizing, and he felt very sorry to report to the Saido. Because he thought he is a person, he can control everything like that, but Sadhu is not much with the critical kind of thing, he is continuing. Third day he came and told, Bande, I feel like going home. Because no home. Sadhu told, that is the way you continue, no problem. Fourth day he came with, we are going with the interview book. And Sadhu is sitting on the upper chair. And we go there and start tearing and he start crying. He can't face, look at the Sayadaw. He keep the book and told Bante, I feel like going home, no hope. And start crying. Because he never expect. I can't believe, but what happened was, Sayadaw has climbed down the chair and peeping under the book. And he says, mind is progressing.
Mind
progressing. Because he read not from the your value judgment. He says, you are enduring. You are not giving up. So only thing Sayadaw wanted, don't give up halfway. Now you are already paid. Just wait till the results comes. So that is how we encourage him, telling your mind is progressing. Because our part, we expect the signs, but they are completely mind-made. The real signs never expected. It's always electric. It's always an accident. Always unexpected. You can't predict this is going to happen. And this is not revealing the way you expect it. So therefore you have to do wholeheartedly with the full faith. I am progressing, I am with the faith to the Buddha, the Dhamma and Sangha. I am with my precepts. I am not this fight for the fame, gain or money. So anything valid. Anything goes. I mean that itself is Nibbana. That very endurance itself is Nibbana. What do you expect more? Really, your capacity is there, your diversification is there, anything valid. That is how you prepare yourself for this the grandeur or profound Dhamma. Otherwise, you are compromising your business, your supply and demand theory. You are doing just naughty business. I can't hear.
That kind of faith, if you go through it, now I have that experience, and in the first 10-day course, for 8 full days, it was excruciating pain. And after that, that pain, you know, is that true? I don't know now. But
it's not unique. There may be some other alternatives. If you read, there's one book known as Dhamma Therapy. There's all the experience in the Mahasi system. The people are enduring because they have undergone enough suffering. They have seen the disadvantage of the sansaric journey. So they went there, and when they go there, they started to have a special kind of a torturing. But with the faith, they continue. Ultimately, what happens is, there's a healing process going on inside. All your bodily the imbalances and the malfunctions are going to take from the root from the beginning and then evaporating and rectifying. And when that happens, whenever you ending up pain means that you are healing very deep-rooted diseases. Sometimes ulcers, sometimes cancer or any kind of thing, you keep on. One day the one person has came and he has the TB, tuberculosis. And then when he's coughing, the blood comes. And overnight he's coughing. And in the room, there are 3 people living in the same room. So Sayadaw has the fear. And when he go there, his spittoon is full of blood. And Sayadaw has pleaded him, please go home, because it will be contagious. But he is so in a, how do you call it, with a humble way, please Sayadaw, if you have the compassion to the human beings, let me be in the meditation center. In the midnight he has pleaded. Then Sayadaw has given a separate room and he says he has full confidence, let it happen. And after 2-3 days time, he feel kind of bursting thing happen inside the body. And then onward, everything gone. And his tuberculosis gone, everything. And he came like a, it's like a, the winner. And these things have been reported there. And when I was there, there was a one lady which has been a matron in the hospital. And he has developed the cancer in the throat. Even now she can't hear. And the cancer has burst off. She has not taken leave and gone to the ventilation center. Ultimately, the whole staff has gone to see her, what is going to happen. They know they are suffering from the cancer there. And she completely continued without giving any kind of thing. Now she is attending all the yogis coming. And still she has the hearing aids. And now no more cancer. But it's gone. So, different people have different kind of attitudes, but those who are doing meditation with half-hearted mind, they can't take it up. They are doing meditation for the fashion, because this is a trend now. So everyone is meditating. But if you are meditating for the real, the understand the transcendental, and understand the suffering of the sansara sangvega, where to go? From frying pan to the fireplace. So therefore, better to take it up. No, later you will develop that. This is for the beginner, the regular timetable. Later, when you start to feel the very subtle breath, and if it is going to happen at the 45-50 minutes, like, that means when the subtlety happens, you are getting up. So it is then indicate to go for 1 hour, 5 minutes, 1 hour, 10 minutes, like that, 1.5 hours, 2 hours, 3 hours, like it is continuing. When that happens, you have to adjust the walking meditation also appropriate way. At the beginning, we give the standard timetable, but if you're advancing, you have to adjust. And sometimes, morning hours are very productive. So there you have to go for long sittings. At evening, you do regular 1 hour sittings, but the mornings are being really geared. Do walking meditation, have a bath, have a meal, go for the sitting. Likewise, you have to adjust it once you get your traits. Personality traits, you have to adjust accordingly. So 1 hour is just for the beginners. Okay, if there are no other questions or statements, we can sum up the day's program. For today is the second day. And so far, things happen in the smooth way. So we must be thankful for all the seen and unseen beings, those who are taking pains to organize and support the situation. And equal way, we must share our merits with the dear and near ones and take time to straighten our objectives and to remind our objectives again and again. With that idea, we are going to recite the traditional stanzas and then share the merit with all human beings. Ettavata janammehi sambatam punya sampadam sappi divanumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata janammehi sambatam punya sampadam sappi bhutanumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata janammehi sambatam punya sampadam sappi sattanumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. ආකාශත්තා ච බුම්මත්තා දීවානාගා මහිත්‍තිකා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත්වා චිරං රක්ඛන්තු ශාසනං ආකාශත්තා ච බුම්මත්තා දීවානාගා මහිත්‍තිකා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත්වා චිරං රක්ඛන්තු දේශනං ආකාශත්තා ච බුම්මත්තා දීවානාගා මහිත්‍තිකා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත්වා චිරං රක්ඛන්තු මං පරං ඉදං වෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා වන්තු ඥාතියෝ ඉදං වෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා වන්තු ඥාතියෝ ඉදං වෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා වන්තු ඥාතියෝ ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමි බාල සමාගමු සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බානපත්තිය ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමි බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බානපත්තිය ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමි බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බානපත්තිය සාදු 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 අභිවාදන සීලිස්ස නිච්ඡං වද්දා පචායිනෝ චත්තාරෝ ධම්මා වද්දන්ති ආයුවන්‍නෝ සුඛං බලං ආයුරෝග්‍ය සම්පත්‍ති සග්ග සම්පත්‍ති මේවච අතෝ නිබ්බාන සම්පත්‍ති මිනාතේ සමිජ්ජතු සීලවන්